Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, A Home Like This One.
Genesis chapter number 2, in verse 16 through 25. And then this morning will serve somewhat of a review because I want to go over the principles that I've given in the first two lessons so I can finalize what I'll say today about Genesis 1 and 2, and then maybe I'll move to talking about the way of the eagle. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 16 through 25, when you have the word of the Lord is blessed. Say, I have the word. Genesis chapter number 2, if you need a Bible to use, just put your hand up. Somebody will get you a Bible to use while you're here. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 16 through 25. Amen. I'd love for you, if you didn't mind, let's read it together. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a deep helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Continue.
So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked.
The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There's a test in here that we should recognize, and I'll get to it a little bit later, that he gives to all of us when we reach the state of maturity. And he did it with Adam, and he does it with us. And I think it's overlooked, and I'll get to it in a few moments, but there is a test in there that I think most of us miss. And because we miss it here, we miss it in life. Or we fail at the test too often when it's given. And they were naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Powerful. Profound text. We should now understand that God's way and plan are plain, simple, and navigated through complete obedience. I'll say that again. After hearing the series that we heard on disarming the powers and the authorities of darkness, and this series of A Home Like This One, we should now understand that God's way and his plan are simple. It's navigated through simple and complete obedience. We also must understand that the way of the sinner or the transgressor is hard. Reverend Ernest, have you noticed that we reverse it and we declare our way to be hard and we say the sinner have it so good? But the scripture says that the way of a transgressor, sinner, is hard. But the way for the saint, the way for the believer, is plain and simple, but it must be navigated through complete obedience. We also must understand that God is linking words together so we can stay on the path. Path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. Every word that God speaks, it is tied to the last word that he spoke. And when we put them together, it gets us or moves us further along the journey called life or the abundant life. And oftentimes we don't experience God's best because we have too many breakages. Does everybody understand when I say breakages? God speaks something, and then because of whatever, we miss what he says next, and then we try to find our way again, and then he says something. Instead of every word that he says, because we are attentive, we have our ear to his mouth, that we don't miss one jolt, one tittle. Everything he says, we put it together, and it keeps us ordered in the way of living life and living it more abundantly. He's spoken to us, and he says, I'm going to empower you to disarm powers and authorities of darkness. I'm going to show you how to live in a house or a home like Genesis 1 and 2. But in order to do this, you have to put together what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you in prayer goes with what I said to you in worship. What I'm saying to you in worship goes to what I'm saying to you about your career. What I'm saying to you with your career goes together with the relationships and the status of relationship you have in this time. But you can't miss one word of what I'm saying when I'm saying it. When we miss what God is saying, and ministers, I'm sorry, you guys can be released. When we miss what God is saying, we have to play the guessing game. When we miss what God is saying, we then have to play the best guessing game. What job do I take? Who are my good friends? Who are my enemies that are in the cluster of my good friends? Where should I go? What should I do? When we miss what God is saying, we then have to play the guessing game. And truthfully, sometimes we guess wrong and sometimes we guess right. But we're moving out of the season of playing the guessing game, and we're now moving to the season of keeping our ears to God's mouth, and we're going to know every step we are to take. And we're not going to play a guessing game because he's ordered our way in his word. In Genesis chapter number 2, God begins to expand on what he and how he created the sixth day. And after everything that he said of day one, day two, day three, day four, he said it was good and it was very good. Whenever we are being ordered in the way of the Lord and God is creating our day, it can only end up being good and very good. Even the stuff that he have to work together, if we keep following him, it ends up being good and very good. And the evening and the morning was the fifth day and the sixth day and the seventh day. And he rested and he said it was good and very good. We've got to get out of the mindset of sometimes up and sometimes down. And we've got to get into the mindset of leveling off and living that all of us going to work together for my good. Because the truth of the matter is, this hilly ride that we're going through, you're confusing everybody connected to you. And they're trying to see somebody that's stable in all of their ways and know how to wear the good just as well as they know how to wear the bad. But that only comes when we become stable and we become believers in God's word and we become confident in what he said he's going to do. I wish I had time, but I don't. I'd sidebar here. I think sometimes when negative or bad things happen, we think that somehow negated some things that God have said. I'm glad I got one or two people shaking my head. We can have God do three or four good things and tell us about five or six more good things that he's going to do, but then one bad thing can happen, and now it negates what he has done already, but what also did he say he's going to do? We got to become prophetic like my dad spoke one season, that bad news won't change my mind. In Genesis chapter number 1 and Genesis chapter number 2, God is telling them what he has done and what he's going to do. And then when you get to Genesis chapter 2, he expands and he says, now, this is the kind of home that I want to build for you. This is the kind of residence that I want you to have. This is how I want you to live forever in a home like this one. I don't want you to live in craziness. I don't want you to live in dysfunction. I want you to be stable. I want you to be well able, and I want you to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. But you got to make up your mind. Are you going to do it my way? Or are you going to do it in the pattern of the way of the world that remains in somewhat of a fallen state? Because this fallen state, stay with me, I promise you, I'm not going to be but so long. In the fallen state, we tie or we put together fig leaves trying to make a house a house. In this fallen state, we continually put together fig leaves trying to make a house a home, but it just remains a house and it is riddled with dysfunction. That's because our fig leaves don't work. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. In fact, when we keep hiding, tying fig leaves together, we end up in dysfunction. When we end up in dysfunction, you remember what I taught you about evil constrictors and evil misleaders and evil benefactors? They then invade our house. They then take our children. They then destroy our marriages. They then destroy our world. And before we know it, we're wondering what's going on. And the truth of the matter is, we've gotten away from the simplicity of Genesis chapter number 1, Genesis chapter number 2, and specifically what he did on the sixth day in describing to them, this is the kind of home that I want you to have. There are some principles that I've been teaching in lesson 1 and lesson 2 that I want to review, and then I'll give you 3 principles coming from Genesis chapter number 2, verse 16 through 25. In lesson 1, under the title of A House Like This One, number 1, I said, everything in our house must recognize the importance of the Sabbath day. Everything within our house must recognize the importance of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is the Lord. The Sabbath day in Exodus chapter 20 is one of the 10 commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I don't know if you guys realize this. The American culture has nearly erased any thought of a Sabbath day. Okay, y'all not saying anything back to me. Most children don't know that's a command, nor do they know what that means. And I know our grandparents and our great-grandparents, well, some of our grandparents and great-parents, was very extreme with remembering the Sabbath day. And I got a few people in here that can remember now what I'm talking about. There were certain things that we just didn't do on Sunday. But now the inverse is true. We do everything on every day, so we know nothing about what is the purpose of a Sabbath day. And we definitely are not keeping it holy. But the first thing that we must understand, if we're going to have a home like Genesis chapter number 2, we've got to input a Sabbath day back into our schedules. I believe with all of my heart, I don't know what percentage, but I believe a percentages of sickness and diseases would go away if we took one day and we said, this is a Sabbath day rest. Most of us are not workaholics. We some kind of holic, but it ain't a workaholic. So we go continually nonstop. Gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta do this. And before you know it, I was listening to somebody talk the other day. They said they work 61 days straight. Do you know what that does to the body? Let's don't even talk about what that does to the mind. Sometimes you need to get your little happy self somewhere and sit down, rest. Let it all be about the Lord today. Can I ask y'all a real personal question? When was the last day that you designated this day is about the Lord, period? Doom, doom, doom. And y'all want to know what's wrong with the American culture? When was the last day that this one day is about the Lord? Let's don't even discuss church being too long. Now I got to sort of kind of pitch for the church for a moment. You mean to tell me 10:45 to 12:30, 1 o'clock is too long? That's beyond most of the movies you watch. Don't watch one of them long, extended movies. We've been out of church, and you're still in the theater. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'm going to say again because none of you answered. When was the last time you made one day about the Lord? I'm going to throw a big one out there. When was the last time you cut your cell phone off for a 24-hour period? Most of you can't do it. So something has common access to your life beyond God having that kind of access. You won't cut the cell phone off, but you won't give God 24 hours. But let an emergency or crisis happen, America. Do you not know the children of Israel? They had to take 3 days out of every year and present it to the Lord. I just asked you, when was the last time you did one? I ain't texting nobody. I ain't reading no Facebook posts. I ain't tweeting nobody. I ain't checking my Instagram. You think it's unintentional that that has been done to us? Social and mass media has a power on our life that needs to be broken. If we're going to have a home like Genesis chapter number 2, and I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking about to the people that really want the peace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm talking to the people that really want an experience that the river of God flows in the midst of them. One of the first things you have to do is you have to set aside a Sabbath day rest. Today we're going to go to church. Then we're going home. Then we're going to eat a nice dinner. Then we ain't cutting on nothing electronic. And we gonna talk like a functional family. I can't hear y'all. Some have it so bad that they come to church and they can't get out of them devices. I know we're not screaming yet, so you're not watching me. Remember the Sabbath day. My grandmother taught me some principles that I'm going to hold on to. I'm not going to let go. There are certain things that if Sunday's my Sabbath, I won't do certain things. And I'm telling you guys, you better start teaching your children because this culture is making them up into things that we wonder why they do what they do. It's because they have no Sabbath day rest. It was so important, he made it one of the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Remember the Sabbath day. I'm going to wait for an answer, okay? When was the last day that you designated solely for God? And don't look at me in that tone of voice. All your job has to tell you is, we need you to stay here for quite a bit of time, and you know what we won't do? We won't leave. I've done it, so I'm not just talking about you. I spent one weekend 72 hours working for the law firm that I work for in D.C. I didn't leave. I just went to the hotel, slept for a few moments, went back to the office for 72 hours. What if I would close myself in 72 hours with God? Don't want nothing else but God. Y'all are looking at me in that tone of voice. And I know what that means. We're in love with this world. And God needs to break it to get us back to experiencing Genesis chapter 2. Do me a favor, help me. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, when was the last time You gave God 24 hours. Tell him one more thing. Say, that's a problem. He said, remember the Sabbath day. And on the seventh day, now check this out. And on the seventh day, the Lord rested. If he has to stop and rest, that's the Lord. First thing he says is, Genesis, remember the Sabbath day and the importance. Number two, he says, now you must recognize how dependent and desperately you are in need of me. And the one verse that I brought out about that, that he breathed in us and we became a living vessel. We must get back to understanding that I'm desperate. I can do nothing without God. In him I live and move and have my being. We have to get out. And it's really bad in this American culture. We generally call on God in crisis moment. We handle everything else. And then when the crisis hit, we call on God. Well, why don't we call on God so much that when we get in the crisis, we all have to call on him because we know he's already there with us. We now have to realize, number two, and this is from lesson one, of our desperate dependency upon God. And if you don't believe that, try to take a breath on your own without God. Every now and then, Holden, we ought to tell God, God, I'm desperate for you. I need you to be in my house. I need you to be in my marriage. I need you to be with me training these children. I need you in every capacity of way I live. In Genesis chapter number two, they found out that they couldn't even breathe without God. They were desperately depending on God. Number three, in lesson one, we found out that when we are dependent on God and then we understand the importance of the Sabbath day, then the third thing we learn is, my home becomes more like his heaven when I make God choices. My home becomes more like his heaven when I make God choices. We need to now move beyond good choices. Because good choices can get you in trouble. We got to now move into God choices. That means I must, Proverbs 3, acknowledge him first in all of my ways. Don't settle. Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't settle for good choices. We need to move into making God choices. God said, Adam, I'm going to set in the midst of you some trees. You can eat of all of the trees, but just don't eat of this one. The choice of God was pick any of the other ones, just don't mess with that one. Why is it, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, why is it that we got to go after the very thing that he warned us to stay away from instead of settling with, this is a God choice. Can I help somebody here? God choices help you sleep well at night. God choices keep you from continually looking in the rearview mirror. God choices keep you from having to think about what did you say when you told them the story the last time. We got to now learn how to make God choices. Lesson number one, I talked about the Sabbath day. Lesson number one, I talked about we must recognize how desperate we are for God. And then lesson one, I also talked about it. We've got to now always make God choices. In lesson number two, I begin to show clearly that if we follow God's choices, he will be our shepherd and we shall not want. In point number one, I said it very clearly that we must now not only believe that we're dependent on God, we must now agree that God is our life and God is our strength and God is our good success. We're not just depending on him, but he's also our light, he's our strength, and he is our good success. May I submit to you, any success that we cannot say came from the Lord, it is dangerous grounds, and it is going to eventually get us compromising from God. We want him to be our life. We want him to be our strength. We want him to be our success. Do you know how confident you are on that job when you know God put me on this job? Do you know how confident you are in this marriage when you know God joined us together? Do you know how confident you are in life when you know my steps are ordered, I'm doing what he wants to do? The confusion, the complexity comes when I make a good choice. And I'm not sure it's a God choice. We must now advance our understanding. Not only am I depending upon God, but he is also, somebody said this, we say, he is my life, he is my strength, and he is my good success. In Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 8, he says, you shall meditate on my word day and night, and you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. God empowers us to make choices that causes the results to be unimaginable. And I'm almost done, Edward. You can get rid of the doxology to me. I'm going to say that again. God causes us to make choices that when we make choices, the results are unimaginable. God makes us make choices, and then the results that we see because of our choices, the results are unimaginable. How did I get to live here that his house is paid for? How did I get to live here that I didn't have to spend 5 years paying for this car? How did I get here that I keep getting promotions and increase? How did I get here that I now, one of the things that my children often ask me, they see my phone ring, and then they read who it is. Or I'm walking in the bank, or I'm walking in Home Depot, and somebody grabbed me, Pastor Lawrence. They thought, Daddy, how do you know these people? I often tell them, it ain't no goodness on me. God had me here, and I met that person. God had me there, and I prophesied to that person. When we make God choices, the results of God choices are unimaginable. It blows our minds of how am I experiencing this. Look at your neighbor and tell him a God choice, a God choice. God wants to give us a home that is unimaginable. And I'm not necessarily, please hear me, I'm not talking about a structure of a building. I'm talking about what's contained inside of whatever the size of the structure is. That it will be unimaginable. The peace, the love, the kindness, the joy, what you get to experience. It'll be unimaginable, but we have to make God choices. Somebody sent me real loud, God choices. Realize that we are dependent for him to be our life, our strength. I promise you, I'm almost there, and our success. I told you very clearly last week that in the midst of all of this must be a river. And if I had a little time, I would advance this teaching. And the very river that we see in Genesis chapter number 2, we get over in the New Testament, and Jesus promises that there's a comforter coming. This comforter that comes inside and dwells of us, he picks it up, and when he's in the Gospels, he says, now there is going to be flowing out of you rivers of living waters. The very river in Genesis 2 is significant of the river called the Holy Spirit that is supposed to dwell within us. That river ought to be in the midst of us and flow out of us. I shared with you last week that one of the things that, especially the occult in America, is trying to replace is the river of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And most of us don't know, we are easily married to things that are the occult that we then can't figure out why does not the river flow in our lives. And it's because the Bible says he will not dwell in an unclean temple. I'm going to get a little further in a minute. And he says, now, if I'm to be a father of you, you got to come out from among them. There must be a river in the middle of us, and it is the Holy Spirit. It should not only flow through our lives, but people ought to come into where we reside and say, what is it about this atmosphere that is different? Are y'all still here? The problem with most of our homes, it is an absence of a river. When there is a river, There is music that can't be played in the house because you don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. When there is a river in the middle of the house, there are TV shows that can't be watched. And I know we've gotten away from talking like that because that sounds too much like holiness and strictness that we want no part of. But if you want that river to flow in and out of your lives and flow in the midst of your house, there's some stuff that you got to keep out. And if it's ever in, you got to make sure it get out of this house quickly.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.